Thank you for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org.
We are in a series going through the Acts Church. It's basically that first post-Jesus church, and Tom Hollenbeck started off in a great way. This one, Acts, always takes me back, because I don't know if some of you guys have been out there in this position, that young, zealous Christian, that stage of your life. I was like, the church, they just got it wrong. Holy Spirit can lead and teach me anything. Don't need anyone to teach me. And we're going to go out and be the real church. So I studied Acts. I'm like, I'm going to find out why these people who've been doing it for 40 years are so wrong. And then as you study Acts, you learn they've done it 40 years for a reason. And Pastor Ron has taught us everything correctly. And we are that active Acts church. And I want to display that to you guys properly. And I want to challenge us to maybe step out a little more and be more active as a church. There's always a goal. There's always a goal. So let's pray. But my goal today is to make us more active as a church. Let's pray. Excuse me. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you right now. I ask that your Holy Spirit lead tonight, God, your Holy Spirit guide as we study through Acts, God, that we're able to put ourselves in your story and understand the power that you have offered us. You have offered us your Holy Spirit as a gift to walk out and show love to other people. Help us to do that today. In Jesus' name, everyone said? Amen. Okay, so we're going to... Tom finished at Acts 1, verse 8. We'll be starting from verse 6 and then going forward from there. But before I get there, what excites me about the Acts church is they were so excited for what was coming. This is Jesus' death. Jesus reappears and assures his disciples. He assures them, I'm okay. I'm well. I'm alive. Everything I preached to you guys before I died was true. And he shows them, he tells them that he's going to leave this Holy Spirit with them, and then poof, he's gone. Now, this church is very excited for what's to come, and that's what I feel like has, like, died in modern-day Christianity, is that excitement for what the Holy Spirit could do. You got to think about when Jesus is preaching this Holy Spirit that had never been on the earth, and he's telling them, I'm going to leave you a helper. I'm going to be gone one day. But listen, disciples, I'm going to leave you a helper one day that's going to give you all the power in the world to perform miracles, to change lives, to heal. I'm going to leave that to you. So this Acts church is very excited. For us, some of us, life has started to hit us. Real life, it hits you. And you lose that excitement for everything that God can do in your life. Today, we're going to take that back. Today, we're going to take that excitement of what God can do through us. We're going to take it back. Do you agree? We're going to jump to my first verse, Matthew 19, 26. Not even in Acts. Why did I do this? You'll see why. Jesus looked at them. With man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. I want you to leave that up there. There's people out there from every walk of life. Today, I'm calling you to be a better employer, to be a better employee, to be a better husband, to be a better wife, to be a better student, to be a better sibling. All these walks of life, which I hope we are humble enough to admit, it's time for us to be better in some areas. Other things I thought of when trying to think of, where can we allow the Holy Spirit to advance us, to take us deeper, to take us further? Finances was one that kept popping in my mind. Thank you, Pastor Steve. Finances was one that kept popping in my head. That, you know what? I don't handle that right. I don't handle my finances correctly, right? I need to allow God to be involved in more of my financial decisions. This is the challenge I want out there to us as a church. What area of life do we need to allow the Holy Spirit to change our decisions? The Holy Spirit should affect us every single day. There should be things that we think, like me changing, being a better husband, being a better father, being a better anything. It feels impossible because I know who I am. I know I'm not that great of a person. So I should look at that and go, that's impossible. But if I have God's Holy Spirit, guess what? Possible. If I have God's Holy Spirit, I can show love constantly. I can have patience constantly. If I have his Holy Spirit, I can do this. Because at the beginning of Acts, Jesus is telling us this is what the Holy Spirit does. And we have to, as a church, stop limiting what he can do through us because our lack of faith. If you believe God can change you from the inside out, that's exactly what he'll do. And he'll do it starting today. Acts 1, 6 through 8. This part Tom Hollenbeck went over, but I want to start from there. They gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? They're excited. They're zealous. They're like, God, what are you about to do, Jesus? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has sent me by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth. So he assures them, this is a return Jesus from death. He assures them the power of the Holy Spirit. He assures them that you can stop worrying about the day that I'm going to return, about this time that I'm gonna come and restore Israel and get you guys where you know you're supposed to be. I'll tell you why I'm sharing that. Who is honest enough to admit they made their New Year's resolution? You made one. You have a goal. Well, some of you guys, I'll say about 50-50, maybe a little less. I've made a lot of New Year's resolutions in my life. One that I've made this year, and I've made it probably 3 years in a row, is get in shape before we go to youth camp. You go to youth camp, and you gotta get on this little thing and do backflips on into the lake and stuff. So you can't just be eating everything you want and go out there. You gotta at least get it together a little bit, right? So I make these little challenges to myself, and I tell myself, okay, we go in June or we go in July. So by April, I gotta get to like this weight, right? So I do the thing that I think we all do. I have 4 months, we're good. I have 5 months, we're good. We get through January, February comes, I go, I still got like 3 or 4 months, we're good. We get through February, I'm still good. If I go hard these 2 months, I'll be looking fine when we get to camp. Now we're a week away from camp. I'm still bulking. And it hits. I'm gonna be all right, I'm swimming in a shirt, or I don't know what I'm doing. But it happens. These disciples were asking Jesus, is this the time? Is this it? Is this when you come? Is this when you're ready? He says, that's not for us to know. That's not for us to know. What you do know is you're going to have power when this Holy Spirit comes. This very important part as we go forward. He said, don't worry about what's to come. It's all great. It's me returning in all my glory, but I don't want you worrying about that, because I want you to focus on what you can do through this Holy Spirit. He showed us where to focus. Next verse, Acts 1, verse 9. After he says this, he drops this great nugget of wisdom saying this Holy Spirit is going to come help you. People of this world, a Holy Spirit is going to help you. This is what happens. After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes. A cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intensely up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? The same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. Why is this important? I love the series Pastor Ron is in. He does this throughout the years. A time will come, God will speak to him, and he'll go, it's time for prophecy. It's time to talk about the end times. He talks about it. He teaches us. We study. I see a lot of notebooks come out during that time. And he moves back on to the goodness of God and how we can change people through the love of God and the grace that Jesus Christ has shown us. It's not every week in the pulpit about the end times, because this is what happened. Jesus gives them this knowledge. I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. I'm going to give you everything you can imagine. And then poof, he's gone. So the disciples are sitting there looking like, where's Jesus? Like, what just happened? And looking at the sky, and what I saw is some Christians are still here, living to this day, looking into the sky. Like, Jesus is coming back one day. Let me dust off. Let me make sure no sin is here. Let me make sure I'm clean. I'm ready. Jesus, when are you coming? I'm going to sit here and look into the sky and wait. Jesus, when are you coming? My focus is when is Jesus coming back? That's the way I preach and try to reach out to people. I let them know Jesus is going to return and he's not going to pick you up when you get here. It could become our focus. It could become our focus. But Jesus wanted us to be active. He wanted us to be using the Holy Spirit. We should be so busy doing exactly what the Holy Spirit told us to do that we can't even notice he came back until someone goes, hey, that dude you're preaching about is coming back right now. They should have to tell us because we're busy doing his work. He's not going to let you miss the rapture. He's not going to let you miss his coming. No one's going to miss it. No one. But we can miss our calling. We can miss what we're supposed to be doing. In church, we have to be active. I want you guys to look at how the Acts church responded. So Jesus came back in this body, in a restored body, showed himself to him, revealed himself to him, then gets literally snatched away. They still have stuff to deal with. Judas had just snitched on Jesus Christ, had just kissed him and sold him out. And we know how we treat snitches. Judas really messed up. And this was my epiphany when I was preparing this whole sermon. They go right to handling the Judas situation. They're not harping. They're not looking. They stop looking into the sky. It says, and which verse is it? It says in Acts 1, 20 and 21, if you guys could pull that up. 4, they're looking for a solution. How do we replace someone in our ministry who's messed up, who's made a big mistake? How do we replace them? Judas has just sold out Jesus Christ. So they go to what? Psalms. They look into the Psalms. Look what it says. For St. Peter, is written in the book of Psalms, may his place be deserted. Let there be no one who dwell in it, and may another take his place of leadership. Therefore, it is necessary to choose one of the men who have been with us the whole time the Lord Jesus was living among us. Now, let me explain this, guys. The Acts church is our blueprint. Blueprint to church. Blueprint. They went and looked. They said, it's time to replace this man. This man has made a mistake. Now, this is where we're all going to learn a big lesson. This is the Acts church. This is the 12 disciples. One, their ministry leader just died, Jesus Christ. Ministry, a big person in the ministry, Judas, treasurer, just committed the ultimate sin. Not one disciple gets up and says, I'm done with you, Acts church. Not one disciple gets up and go, you have no leadership. Judas, not even a real Christian, sold out Jesus. I'm going to go ahead and gossip about him. The disciples went to the Old Testament, looked at how to deal with the situation, and moved forward. They picked two people who were working amongst them, who were already walking with Jesus, who were already doing these things, and then they appointed them to leadership. I say that to you because we have a big church. The new year has came and we need help. I will continue to say this. I don't believe this real Holy Spirit can be in here with all of us, and I know some of you are at the point in life where you're just sitting and you're trying to learn. I've been there and all of us in leadership have been there. That's fine. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to the ones who you're sitting out there and that Holy Spirit has been telling you to get involved. Getting involved and walking with Jesus comes way before anyone appoints you as leader. Comes way before you get a calling of pastor, you get a calling of ministry leader this, ministry leader that. Even from old times, you're already walking and doing these things. We have to listen to the Holy Spirit and get active. The Holy Spirit is speaking to all you guys. We have nursery, preschool, junior high, high school, extreme, parking lot, Northwest, Vegas campus, if you're not even from here. I cannot even think of the millions of things that you could do at this church that we need help with. And the Holy Spirit knows that because it's our helper. Holy Spirit is telling you to get involved, and that's the stepping stone for the future of your walk with God. I'm not caring about just helping the church. It's not it. You know what happens? Even when we're understaffed, have not enough leaders, every volunteer in this church can tell you, God makes it happen. God makes it work. It's not a cry out saying, serve so you can help this church. It's serve so you can help yourself. It's serve so you can experience what Jesus Christ does to a life. And when we have holes in leadership, we can go to you and pull from you. We can go to you because you've been walking with us. You've been in the trenches with us, and something, an opportunity has opened itself up, and we should be able to look out through all the people who are serving and be like, this person can be appointed to take that person's spot. We've also seen problems like they saw with Judas, and we've let that make us fall out of church. We let that make us feel some type of way about either your home church. Some of you in here came from another church because something bad happened. Some of you are watching online because you don't go to VBF no more, but we know you still do. Because of bitter things. Because of bitter things. We're not here to say we're perfect as a church. I'm not here to say I'm perfect as a person. I'm here to say we follow Jesus and we try to let the Holy Spirit lead everything within our lives. And if you do that, you get your home church, whether it's somewhere else and you came here or whether it's you left VBF and you need to come back, and you fight with them, you get in the trenches and you serve. The Holy Spirit can appoint you to do these things. The Holy Spirit can make that. You might say it's impossible. I don't have enough time to serve, J2. It's impossible. I can't join another Bible study. It's impossible. I can't. I'm not good with kids. I can't serve out there. Well, guess what? With man, that's impossible. With God, someone finish it. It's real simple. Holy Spirit can lead us. I have a question for you. I need to take a drink of water. I'm going to ask this question so you can ponder, though. When's the last time your day was going in a direction and the Holy Spirit changed it? It should be constant. That was a convicting question for me, because the Holy Spirit, so gentle. Holy Spirit doesn't just ram into your life and goes, you're gonna go and help that person out today. You're gonna go and serve the homeless today. No, it doesn't do it like that. Holy Spirit waits. And when you go, we wake up in the morning and go, God, in the name of Jesus, wherever you want me to go today, that's what I'm gonna do. The attitude you want me to have today, that's what I'm gonna have. And when you wake up and invite that Holy Spirit and allow the Holy Spirit to lead, allow God to have say in your life, that's when you'll see things and do things a little different. And that's what the Acts Church did. I want you, this was a cool little footnote that I jumped over, but in Acts 1:14, right after Jesus disappears, this is what it says that he did. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with women and Mary, mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. That's what I mean by active church. When's the last time you went through a hurt and a pain, and you called your brothers and sisters just to come pray? Let's just pray about it real quick. That's why I'm pushing you guys to serve. I've learned that I've taken these things for granted. I have a young adults group. I have junior high leaders. I have even kids leaders that are still in my life. Then when I go through it, I know they're praying. I can text them what they need to pray for. I can text them the deepest and darkest things, and they're not gonna judge me. They're just gonna pray. Those are the reasons I beg you guys, get involved. We're literally not meant to walk this walk alone. Not only did he give us a Holy Spirit, a spiritual helper, he gave us the body of Christ. He gave us all these other believers to get around. He set us up. And any of those people who have served in a church before, you know that becomes your family. It becomes who you rely on. My church family is they've been there for me. They've prayed with me through way more situations than my blood has ever done. And that's just a real fact. That's why I call you guys and I ask you to allow the Holy Spirit, allow the Holy Spirit to tell you where you can help us at, where you can help this church. Because I promise if you do that, if you take that leap, if you don't wait, because what we do is we wait and we go, I'll start serving by the end of this year. I'll start serving when God gives me the clearest word ever. I'll start serving here. And just like me at camp, going looking like the Michelin man, the time's gonna come. Things are gonna start shaking. The world's gonna start, that rapture time that Pastor Ron has been talking about on Sundays, it's gonna hit. And just like when the disciples are sitting there talking to Jesus and they're like, oh man, where did he go? He's gonna come back like that. Where are you going to be? What are you going to be doing? Are you going to be serving the Lord? Are you going to be walking in your calling, whatever it is? And serving the Lord can look different ways. If you're not serving at the church, some of you are calling, some of you mothers in here, you're calling this to be a great mom at home and making sure you're pouring in and praying for your kids. Some of that, that's the biggest part of your calling. Are you doing it? Are your kids getting prayer? Is your the people around you, are they experiencing the Holy Spirit? One of my favorite things about our church, one of the things that drew me in, when I first started going here, Pastor Ron started an initiative called Pay It Forward. Who remembers that? Anyone remember that? Dang, see, that's crazy. So the Pay It Forward initiative was simple as this. You just go to, when you're in the drive-thru, when you're at the restaurant, you pay for the person's meal behind you. And you say, I'm just paying it forward. Have a blessed day. You leave a note if you want to. Now, during this time, you could go anywhere in Bakersfield. I'm telling you, if you went a whole week, you were going to run into someone paying for your stuff. It would happen. Multiple times, I was like, this is crazy. The people are doing this. We got to get back to things like that. Our identity should be showing random love to as many people as possible to get them intrigued of why are we so kind? Why are we so nice? Why would any person do that? And then you get to slide in real quick. Let me tell you about Jesus real quick. It doesn't have to be hard. God showed me. He said, with young adults and with the junior high, we're trying to have an outreach year. We're trying to make sure we're pouring out and showing love. And I'm sitting here trying to come up with the coolest outreach ideas that you've ever seen. So helicopters and news stations want to come out to them. That's where my mind goes. I'm like, how can I do the biggest outreach ever? And God said, you don't have to plan to love people. It happens. You don't have to plan it. So we've came up with some ideas with the young adults group. We're gonna do blessing bags. We're gonna go out. We're gonna adopt a place downtown, and we're gonna just always hit that spot once a month and make sure those people know they're loved. That's the young adults plan. The junior hires came up with an amazing idea for February, the beginning of February. They're gonna go out that first week, and we're gonna give out roses just to random ladies to make sure they feel loved and on this holiday, just in case there's someone who doesn't get anything, maybe they get it, and an invite to church. Why do I say this? Because if you got involved in serving, you would be involved in one of these groups. Also, you might already have your small, tight-knit group, and we can decide to go out and go, Holy Spirit, how do you want to use us today? Holy Spirit, how are we going to go out and show some love to people? We need to be moved by this Holy Spirit. Now, let's look at how powerful, because this is where I feel like the church has missed it, how powerful the Holy Spirit was when it came down. And remember, the Holy Spirit is exactly the same. It's not different. Holy Spirit is the same. Look at Acts 2, 1 through 8. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly the sound of blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were standing in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it each one of us hears them in their own native language?" Holy Spirit comes down and is literally speaking and interpreting languages for people. Holy Spirit, according to Jesus, through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can heal. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can overcome. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, every chain can be broken. If it can change the tongues of man, we are unlimited in what we can do. The only thing that stops us, we stop ourselves. You guys, every person sitting out there can start an amazing ministry that could start from the smallest thing. Pastor Ron started this from a little hut thing, and it became what it is today. Nothing crazy, nothing special, no crazy talent. He was in love with God. If you are in love with God, Your career plan is taken care of. Your future is taken care of. Your spouse is taken care of. God has written it out. He has a plan for you, and he wants to prosper you. You just have to finally die to yourself, and I mean die to yourself, and decide to follow what it is he has planned for your life. And if you allow the Holy Spirit to do it, Holy Spirit will help you through that. Look what it says in Acts 2:17. It goes further after all this, and they're in bewilderment after the upper room. Everyone's going crazy because the Holy Spirit has arrived. And look what it says. Acts 2:17-21. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above, the signs of the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone, this is the verse that matters, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Listen to how direct that is. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Do you call on the name of the Lord? Do you call him King? Does the Holy Spirit have reign in your life? For one, it makes you good. You don't have to worry. So why is stress part of your life? See, we have to find a good standing with God. The word says, make our election sure. Make sure that you know where you stand with the Lord. Don't leave here today without asking the Holy Spirit to come in and help you walk this walk. Don't leave today without asking Jesus Christ to forgive you for all your sins of the past. Don't leave here without saying, Jesus, this day I want to make sure it's you that I serve. I want to make sure that it's me you're coming back to get. That I can go serve full-heartedly with the Holy Spirit and not have to worry about what the end times consist of. Because my Savior is going to come pick me up. That's a good place to be. I want us all to be there. Now, my first verse of with man, it's impossible, but with God, all things are possible, comes immediately after Jesus described to a young rich ruler. It came immediately after he described how hard it would be to be saved, how hard it would be to have eternal life, how hard it would be to let go of all your possessions, to do the things right, to follow the scriptures to the T. Jesus let him know how hard it was before that verse comes up. And I want to close with that story. Bear with me. This will be a quick amount of reading, but then it will all make sense. Go ahead and go to Matthew. Just then, a man came up to Jesus and asked, Teacher, what good thing must I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you ask me about what is good? Jesus replied, There is only one who is good. Reminder to anyone out here who's thinking, to anyone out here who's wondering, what do I have to do to make my election sure? What do I have to do to make sure Jesus is coming to get me? Guess what? You have no capability of doing the thing that you need to do. There's no chance. There's no chance of you becoming the Word of God and walking and living completely correctly as we were called to do. You have to have the Holy Spirit. There is only one who is good. You need the Spirit of Jesus Christ. If you want to enter life, keep the commandments. Which ones, he inquired, which ones I got to keep? Because there's a lot of crazy commandments in there. So very human response, like, well, okay, which one? Like, you clearly don't mean all of them. Jesus replied, You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. I'm out. So are all of you. We're out. Honor your father and mother. Love your neighbors as yourself. Some more of you guys just got eliminated. All these I have kept, the young man said. I believe he's a liar. What do I still lack? Jesus answered, If you want to be perfect, go and sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. When the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. Had something he really had to let go of. He hadn't sacrificed yet. Then Jesus said to his disciples, Truly I tell you, it is hard for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eyes of a needle than someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished and asked, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible." Think about the context. Peter answered, "We have left everything to follow you. What then will there be for us?" If you're struggling tonight, if you're struggling on, should I make this decision? Should I really lay down my own desires? Should I try to follow the ways of the word? Should I really do this? Jesus responds to a direct question of, okay, Jesus, we gave up our stuff. We gave up fishing. We gave up the way we used to act, the way we used to talk. We have solely sold out to your ways, Jesus Christ. What can we expect? Jesus said to them, "Truly I tell you, at the renewal of all things," the renewal of all things, beautifully written, "when the Son of Man sits on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." Promises us a spot. "And everyone who has left the houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or fields for my sake will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and many who are last will be first." This verse is perfectly explained in this. I always think of heaven, and I've read, it says the streets are paved with gold, and I've tried to bring my mind to see that. And it says we're gonna be judged, and we're gonna be given rewards according to what we did here. I want to, that needs to sit in. And it says the first will be last, and the last will be first. I know what I get to do for a living. What I get to do is talk to you guys about how good God is. I was telling the worship team backstage, I do nothing special. This is the easiest thing ever. God is too good. I can talk about him all day long. I talk about him forever. Like, God is that good. He's that good to our lives. But there's some people who fell in love with God, and they get it. There's a guy, Riley, who I know him. A lot of people in the church know him. See your seats? He comes in before each service, and he walks them, and he makes sure they're straight. So if you ever walked in and been like, "Hey, these chairs are really in unison," it's not just because it's like that. There's a volunteer that's served here since I've been here, and that's over 10 years, who comes and sets them straight. That first will be last and last will be first thing are for people like that. I hope one day Riley will let me come visit him in heaven in whatever mansion he's in, because it's going to be big. And I want you guys to understand that you don't have to chase leadership. You don't have to chase any type of approval from man. You need your approval to come from the Lord. So you ask, "Holy Spirit, what's my ministry?" And when he tells you, you wholeheartedly serve it and understand that you don't live for this world. Your rewards are coming. They're in heaven. The first shall be last. The last will be first. People will get recognition that you don't think should get recognition. People will get accolades. People will get finances. People will get things. And that's not for us to worry. And Jesus Christ never wanted you to worry about that. He says, "Son," he says, "daughter, are you good with me? Are you going to be okay? Because I'm coming to get you one day, and I'm trying to prepare this house for you, but I need you to get it together." We just have to get it together. Don't be the person missing your mark. You see, when I think about Riley, if God told me, "This is what you do, you're going to straighten chairs," I'd be like, "God, how could you? You're using people to heal the blind, to heal the sick, to preach to hundreds of thousands. You want me to tighten chairs?" And I would have never stepped into my calling if I was put in Riley's position, because I wouldn't have been able to see it. But I know this dude's going to be talked about from years to come at this church. It's the faithfulness. It's the heart. It's the fact that there's no person that would do that without the Holy Spirit. What are you called to do? What are you called to do that you may think is too small? And even the bigger question, what are you called to do that you think is too big and you could never reach that goal? Because the Holy Spirit wants to make it possible. The Holy Spirit wants to get you there. But the most important thing and the key factor is this. You have to be willing to die to yourself. So as I close, I ask you this. What needs to die? Find out now. What desires need to die? And these are the tough ones. Your employment, school, boys, girls, there are things that we are holding on to, like, God, I know you have a perfect future for me, but I'm holding on till I get this husband or wife, and then I'll start getting there. Or I know you want me to serve, but I still have this small problem where I smoke cigarettes. I know you want me to serve, but I still like to have a drink here or there, and I know they're going to tell me that in order to serve, I need to stop doing that. That's probably why you need to serve. It's going to give you an extra push to get away from those things that you think disqualify you. They only disqualify you if you allow them to still hold you in chains. If you choose today that you're going to break through from the things that are trying to hold you back, God says, that's who I want. That's a leader. They're willing to step into it. So step into your calling, church. Find out what it is. I'm going to replay some of the options you guys have. Stop avoiding it. You have youth. You have parking lot. You have greeting. You have prayer team. You have setup team. You have it all. Young adults, I wanted to make it a point to invite you out there. Young adults was the biggest part of my walk with God, biggest part of my life changing, and I knew I needed friends to walk through this life with me. If you are a young adult in here, we meet on Thursdays at 6:30. Get yourself a new core group, because if you're a young adult, the things is going to have to die. I've lived it. Your friendships, fake friendships, they're fake. They're going to have to die. You're going to have to get yourself around people who are following Christ. And we're starting that here at VBF with the young adults. In youth, I can get you plugged into the correct leaders. You got tech. I know Pastor John's looking for sound people. We're looking for video people. We need the church to be the church. And once we start doing that, we're going to thrive. So I urge you guys, if it's serving here, serve here. If it's outside of here, if you need to be more aware of the Holy Spirit and the nudges that he's trying to tug on your heart, be aware out there. Let's bring back paying it forward. Next time you're in Starbucks, pay for the person behind you. Next time you're at McDonald's, pay for the person behind you. Let's start letting people know they're loved for absolutely no reason. That's what changes lives. That's what got me here. So let's change some lives. Let's allow the Holy Spirit to guide us. I'm going to pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I come before you with our church. And we are in need of your Holy Spirit to shake us up just as you shook everything in those days, Father. But we believe. Check our hearts. We have faith that you can come and use Valley Bible Fellowship.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Here is our King, here is our love.